The New Hampshire Now program is proudly presented by Carter Hill Orchard. Pick your own apples at Carter Hill Orchard. This is New Hampshire Now with Guide 1415 NHTalkRadio.com. I am Chris Ryan. Appreciate you joining us for the program. This hour of New Hampshire Now is presented by Riverbend Community Mental Health as well as the Prescription Center. And this segment of the show brought to you by AARP, here for you in New Hampshire. With information and resources about staying connected and caregiving for the people you love, AARP, real possibilities. For more information, check out AARP.org/NH. And we are really proud of our association with AARP because they do, you know, amazing work and are continually focused not just on politics and the issues of the day and the issues that are significant in regards to politics, but also really connecting individuals in times like we're seeing in COVID-19 and doing such in innovative ways. And it's a really, really great organization for a group of individuals that very often is, you know, forgotten and, to be quite honest, neglected in our society. We worry a lot about the youngest members of our society, as we should, millennials. And, you know, as individuals get older, they're very often forgotten. And those are the people with the experience, the knowledge, the wherewithal that are so integral to our society. As we welcome to the program right now, not just the state director for AARP, but also a member, Todd Fay. Todd, how are you?
Well,
remember that ad? Like not only am I the hair club president, but I'm also a client. So,
I have a lot of hair. Thank you. And
I don't know. I'm not insinuating anything in regards to whether your hair is real or not. But since we're on the top, no, I'm just kidding.
With an introduction like that, I am pleased to be back with you, Chris. Thanks.
Good. Appreciate joining us for the show. As it's crunch time now, we are under 3 weeks to go to Election Day. 19 days left, if my count is correct. Obviously, a lot of individuals have already voted, millions across the country. I believe 13 million people have already voted, according to what I saw yesterday. And I'm curious, you know, to start there. What do you see being, you know, the most consistent path taken by your members at this point? Are they utilizing the opportunity to vote via absentee ballot here in Hampshire, which has a number of different options? You can request it and have it sent to you, or you can go to and then send it back, or you can go down to the city clerk's office here in Concord or wherever you live, request a ballot that day. Vote in person, return the ballot, and you're done. You can vote on demand at this point at your city clerk's office here in the state of New Hampshire. And of course, many individuals also want to vote on Election Day because that's, you know, what we do here in New Hampshire and have done for years. And, you know, it's interesting because to me, it makes the most sense to vote early and to vote on demand. Say, okay, yeah, it's Thursday, I'm going to vote at 1 p.m. today. But for whatever reason, I'm still going on Election Day. I just kind of want to see how it works out. I want to see, you know, what the lines are like, what things are like, get a sense for the people. I enjoy voting on Election Day, but it makes much more sense not to vote on Election Day.
Right. Well, I can just tell you, it's a bit of a mix. Our members, those that I speak with, and I'm in touch with them a lot, it's a very small subset, so I wouldn't say this is a scientifically accurate gauge, but many of them are voting via absentee ballot this year because of COVID. So as you know, we decided in New Hampshire that we were going to have absentee voting permitted on account of the pandemic. It's a valid reason for seeking and obtaining and casting an absentee ballot. So many of our folks are doing that so as to stay safe at the polls. Others are still making their way to the polls, and you know, what I saw in the primary, at least, it seemed like people were working quite hard to be sure that everybody's safety was ensured. So that was impressive.
So AARP was able to you know, put together a couple of different assets for individuals who are interested in hearing from candidates on the issues, and I want to hear from you on that in CD1, CD2. The governor's race as well. You have video voter guides, also written or an article, responses from President Trump and former Vice President Biden on where they stand on Social Security, COVID-19, and more. So a lot of resources, and I think this is important, again, where, you know, a lot of times entities will rely on the media to cover the race the way that, you know, they want it covered. But you've done a really good job of getting out there and asking the questions and letting your members know where they stand on these issues, because more so in this election than any in the past, it is very difficult to break through outside of the, you know, the major three topics right now, which are COVID-19, an economic recession, and systemic racism, and the subsequent events and fallout from that. And those are three obviously hugely significant issues: a pandemic, a recession, and addressing hundreds of years of systemic racism in our nation. So those should be covered, but you just don't get much depth in these debates. So it's very important that you're obviously able to get to the candidates and talk about issues outside of those big three dominant issues.
Yeah, well, the name of our campaign, I think I've said it before on the show, is Protect Voters 50 Plus, and there's really two components to it. The first component is how people can vote safely, and that's what we've taken a nationwide approach via our state offices around the country. Each of us has tried to educate voters in their own way about how to cast their ballot safely, and as you know, it's a different process in every state. In New Hampshire, we have the absentee ballot, so we sent a mailer out to all of our members, and I think we were like maybe the first, if not one of the first mailers, giving people all the opportunities to seek and obtain an absentee ballot, to track their ballot request, to track the return of their ballot, and it's very, 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 very comprehensive. So that was sort of one way to protect voters 50-plus, to really protect their well-being and their safety. And we did our work in consultation and in fairly close coordination with the Secretary of State's office, because we really wanted to make sure that what we gave to our folks was reliable. So it was pretty neat. I mean, a couple times I'd gone to visit some folks, older relatives or elderly relatives or friends, and I'd see on the fridge our mailer, which was great. It was like a report card in a way, and often nobody's really speaking about it, and maybe they didn't always know that I worked for AARP, but it always drew a little smile to my face. And we've got 220,000 members, 225,000 members in New Hampshire, so it's it reached a lot of people. The second part of our Protect Voters 50 Plus campaign is to make sure we equip folks to understand where the candidates stand, and that's what you're talking about here. So we have video voters guides up on our website. People, you can see where the candidates are on key issues in New Hampshire. And then our national team was able to get President Trump and former Vice President Biden to answer various questions, and we're really excited about that. I mean, so people can at least peer. We've been able to pierce through the noise so that people can cast their vote in a way that they want, and there we are.
No, it's really interesting. You frame different topics outside of, just, Social Security and prescription drug costs. You also get into race relations, COVID-19, and the president's answers in regards to COVID-19 and also on Social Security and eliminating the payroll tax are incredibly short. And those kind of jump out at you. As an example, in regards to Social Security, he was asked, "You have said you'd like to terminate the payroll tax if you win re-election. As you know, payroll taxes fund Social Security and Medicare. How would you finance these programs without payroll taxes?" His answer: providing a payroll tax deferral (in parentheses it says which an August 8th executive order permits) poses no risk to the Social Security Trust Fund and puts more money into the pockets of hardworking Americans. You can clearly see there that he doesn't really answer the question in regards to Social Security. He does say we'll never cut Social Security, and you can rely on that. One thing you need is a strong country. And, he goes into the China virus, et cetera, et cetera. Is there, when you have this type of a question and answer, you always wonder – Whether it's best, particularly when you have time to fact check, not in real time like I do with interviews, but you have time to fact check it. Was there any consideration to fact checking the candidates?
I don't think we did. I don't think we necessarily were doing that. We wanted them to come out in their own words, and we allowed the candidates to present their views and their positions without commenting on the accuracy of their claims. So, you know, the interviews were edited for clarity and length, and like anything else, well, like anything else in any race, we just did an event a few weeks ago talking about people being equipped to maybe ask the next question. So we would encourage folks to hear what every candidate says, and then, you know, bring their own common sense to bear, and then also maybe do a little bit more investigation about what it might mean. It's maybe a couple extra clicks. So I'm sure a lot of your listeners do just that, but we have at least their positions on these key issues, and the folks can decide, you know, how they interpret what they've said. But I don't really want to, you know, it's not appropriate for me to comment on what they, you know, how they said it or what they said. They said what they said, and we wrote what we wrote. But it's important. I would also say that our, you know, AARP, .org, 2020, vote 2020 is election 2020, excuse me, is a really great, another great resource for people to look at, because in that we also have, more information available for people and relative to all these issues, so they can actually read what the candidates say, and then they can maybe dig a little deeper so that they can cast an informed vote.
The Uniting America question was great as well. Here's Trump on this. The question was, in polling, our members tell us they are concerned about how divided America has become. What would you do in your second term to unite this country? Trump, the most important thing is going to be how successful we are. We had the best job numbers we've ever had in the last quarter, over 9 million job hirings. We left it at that. Biden, the thing that I would most want to do is have people live out their lives. And he was giving us a different question, sorry. What is the most important thing you would want to achieve for older Americans? And he said he would want for Americans to be able to live out their lives and die in dignity. The vast majority of Americans want to stay in their homes, stay where they are. That's number one. Number two, I would make sure that they didn't live with the constant stress of not being able to have enough to eat or not being able to afford their medication. Third, I'm going to make sure that if you wish to continue to work, you can continue to work without facing age discrimination. Really fascinating to see the two of them side by side in this format on, you know, very similar questions. Todd Fahey joins us here on the program. This hour of the show is presented by New England College, as well as Riverbend Community Mental Health and the Prescription Center. And this segment of the show brought to you by AARP New Hampshire. State races as well. You have video guides for those candidates on the issues. And as you referenced, the follow-up question is so important. And, you know, very often candidates will pay lip service to whatever the particular issue is. If you're, you know, with a group of bankers, they're going to talk about banking issues. And you're going to try to frame either what you're going to do as a candidate or what you have done as an elected official to make it seem as you're going to be favorable to them. But then, you know, the questions afterwards, and, you know, the most important questions in journalism are still the most simple ones. Why and how? And so right. Those two questions are very, you can put them in different ways. But, you know, you want to see what the rationale is for an individual doing something, and you want to see how they're going to do it. And also what type of prioritization they're going to give to it, where, you know, they may say they care about something, but you know, is it going to be something that even enters the realm of their thought process after they leave this room?
Right. And well, here's one of the things we do, and I spoke a few moments ago about a few clicks, and I meant it. So if people are inclined to go to AARP.org, type in AARP Biden and Trump interviews, and you'll see them. But then if you go to AARP.org /election2020, you'll see you'll have links to the state page in New Hampshire about everything you might need about voting safely and understanding where the candidates land. But then all you need to do is scroll down, maybe down halfway down the page, and then you see this title, AARP on the issues. And here we are, strengthen Social Security, protect and strengthen Medicare, lower the prices of prescription drugs, secure the economic health of Americans age 50+, and build a strong long-term care system. So, again, we are a credible voice. We believe our work is founded in reason and fact, and we're proud of it. And so we put it at least out there. So that's a great place for people to start. It may be the place that our members start and where they end, but it might just be a beginning for them to think about intelligently how they're going to cast their vote. And as we've said before, you know, voting is a privilege, a right, and a duty, honestly, and it does take a little bit of time. So, you know, I know this is an important election for lots of reasons, everywhere from the presidential race down ballot, and I think everybody needs to pay attention and make sure they elect those folks who are going to do what they want them and need them to do in Washington.
Coming up next week, you have an online discussion taking place on Social Security. So, A, I want to talk a little bit about that. B, do you feel that Social Security is more at risk now than in past elections? And obviously, you know, for years, Social Security was the third rail of politics. You didn't talk about it, you know, if you didn't have to. And if you did talk about it, you were never going to do anything in order to change Social Security. You didn't want to be labeled as being an individual that would. I'd say that has changed, and that Social Security is not talked about as much in elections. And I feel that, you know, Social Security is a threat at this point. I mean, you look at the debt that our nation faces, and I think that down the road, and granted, it depends on the makeup of Congress and who is in the White House, but I think that, you know, Social Security is facing solvency questions, and there is, you know, significant concern on my part about what Social Security is going to look like for future generations.
Yeah, well, you're smart to think about it. I mean, across political spectrums and, frankly, across ages, and I can't tell you how much it delights me to hear you as a slightly younger generation to say you're concerned about it, and you're rightly so, because, one, it's important.
You can just say a younger generation, Tom. There's no need for a caveat of slightly younger.
Okay, I know. that's a topic for the next show. So, do I think there's some headwinds? For sure. I mean, if we don't do anything with Social Security, the last trustees report said we're going to have a 25% or so across the board reduction in Social Security benefits by 2035. So for those of you, the average Social Security benefit is about $1,400 a month. And if you assume a withdrawal rate of 4%, you would need a nest egg of $300,000. Most Americans don't have that for various reasons that, again, are topics for a different day. So it is a guaranteed source of revenue and the bedrock of financial security for many Americans. As far as the headwinds go, I think the biggest headwind that I see is that we're really not talking about it. So every year you delay in talking about this, the more complex and more difficult the problem is, because it can be fixed. It was strengthened before. It's essentially a math problem. Of all the issues we're facing, I mean, people could, if they were so inclined, address Social Security. And again, coming back to AARP.org election 2020, you can see what our policy positions are. And if you did a little more research, you can type in, and there we have a publication about the proposals to strengthen and update Social Security. And it was prepared by both sides, the left and the right. And there were, I think, 9 or 10 different ways to strengthen the program. And there are pros and cons of each. So, again, that's something people should be aware of. So do I think that there's some headwinds? For sure. I'm most concerned that's really not front and center. It's not being discussed very much. A huge issue for New Hampshire, being given the age of our population and given the reliance on this key bedrock program.
As always, appreciate you joining us for the program.
It's always a pleasure, Chris. You have a great day.
You as well. Todd Fahey here on Hampshire Now. 1-9-1450 and nhtalkradio.com. This hour of the program is presented by the Prescription Center as well as Riverbend Community Mental Health. And that segment of the show brought to you by AARP New Hampshire. We shall come back with more after this. The New Hampshire Now program is proudly presented by Carter Hill Orchard. Pick your own apples at Carter Hill Orchard.